Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello there, everyone. This is Dr. Doreen Rosenfeld, your host for tonight, and I can't wait to talk to tonight's guest, Chris McIntyre. He is an expert in eye-tracking technology and how objective, dynamic vision testing can give doctors a window into the brain through objective digitized tests. Before we dig into this topic, let's meet today's guest, Chris McIntyre. Chris, say hello to everybody.
Hello. Thank you so much for that kind introduction.
I'm not done yet. Okay. I want to tell you about Chris now. Chris is an eye-tracking technology expert. He brought his 20 years of technology experience to Right Eye, where he works with industry-leading chiropractors, functional neurologists, and other brain experts to bring revolutionary, non-invasive eye-tracking technology to medical professionals dedicated to improving the lives of those who suffered from traumatic brain injuries. Chris has a master's in science and technology and uses his background to help doctors help them get a platform to utilize industry-leading technology to improve patient care. Hello there, Chris.
Hello. That was a great introduction. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'll just start out with some questions, and if anyone would like to ask a question, I see we have one already, but I'd like people to call in the number 424-243-9540 and press 1. I'll see your phone number here in the studio, and I'll know you have a question. So please, if you have a question, please do that. But I'll start out talking, and then I'll ask this person the question that is in the studio. So, Chris, based on your background, you seem to have a lot of experience with eye-tracking technology. Can you tell us a little bit about Right Eye and how Right Eye technology is used to help brain injury patients and their families?
Well, yes. Thank you, Dr. Rosenfeld. You know, our basic elevator pitch is that we provide eye track tests and exercises that can be used for the identification and treatment of TBI and other dysfunctions. So at a high level, that's what we do. My story is that I started with Right Eye back in 2015. And when I started, it was a little bit different. We had a wearable eye tracking. It kind of looked like a helmet, if you can imagine. It had eye trackers looking in towards the eyes and cameras looking forward. And we did in-motion, in-theater eye tracking for professional sports teams and the U.S. military. For example, we might follow a soldier who's shooting around a closed course, and we would track that information, and they would use that information to teach other soldiers how to shoot better. Or it could be a professional hitter. We could do that same thing to teach a professional hitter how to be a better batter. So at one of our delivery meetings with the military, they actually asked us to build a rapid screening tool that would allow them to see if candidates who are in the military who wanted to get into special forces groups, if these candidates had the visual ability to do what they needed them to do in these new positions. And so we set off to build a new product for them. And during the development process, there were several doctors involved, and they all were telling us that, hey, this tool is not really a military tool. This is a healthcare application here. And so later that year, we released the first non-invasive commercialized eye tracking system for healthcare professionals. The current product as it stands is FDA cleared as a Class 2 medical device. We also have the FDA's, it's called their breakthrough device designation for a pending Parkinson's test. Talk about today, they're based on level 1 peer-reviewed research. We currently have over 800 practices using the system, and the system includes normative information as well as sports norms if you're into that kind of thing. And it actually turns out to be particularly well-suited for identifying brain-injured patients. Mm-hmm. So it specifically helps TBI patients and their families by providing a picture of what the condition looks like. So both the patient and the caregiver, they're just much more engaged and encouraged, frankly, by the rehabilitation process because they can see that they're getting better.
Very nice. Okay, so how did you personally become interested in this technology for brain-injured people?
Well, you know, I had always had some visual issues, and so I knew somebody who worked at Right Eye, and I said, hey, can you grab a cup of coffee? They told me about it, and I was very intrigued, and I knew it was something I wanted to work on for myself personally. So I interviewed, and there you have it. When I started, I thought it was more about vision, and I really didn't think about the neurological implications. It was clear that what we're delivering, these are not just vision tests. These are neurological tests.
Very interesting. Okay. So what particular challenges does eye tracking address?
So eye tracking, it provides a lot of strong benefits. The first is it provides unbiased, objective, and quantifiable data. So that's one thing that chiropractors are often missing. You know, they know their patients know that they feel better, but they can't point to anything that says, I know you feel better. our results are in real time, or, you know, in general, eye tracking results are in real time. Another thing that's really important about them is that you're capturing information that is instinctive reactions and involuntary reactions. So these are things that somebody can't fake, they can't cheat, because, you know, like a micro saccade, you can't just say, I'm going to move my eye that way. It's just, you know, it's just what you're doing. Eye tracking is also a very natural way to take a test, especially remote eye tracking, because there's really nothing gets in your way. It just gives a great level of detail. And you can also run this, you know, generally, you can run eye tracking systems mobily. They're generally not huge systems, so you can take them with you. And then another key piece is that, in general, they give a visual representation of what has happened. You know, I think the last piece is probably the most important, is that eye tracking is explanatory. And what I mean is it can depict processes and actions that are hard to articulate and explain. And so that is often what chiropractors struggle with, because they know, even when they're looking at the patient, there's something wrong. They know what's wrong, but it's hard to say, here's what's wrong. With eye tracking, you can just show them.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Okay, so question, do you think technology is crucial in identifying brain injury?
I do. I think, you know, in the case of eye tracking technology specifically, eye trackers do things that, you know, the human eye just cannot do. So I think in the future we'll begin to rely more and more on it because it's capturing information that the human eye just can't observe. And over time, as we collect more and more data, I think we'll get a much better understanding of brain injury by observing the eye movements and, more specifically, the trends within the data. So, for example, this isn't a TBI case, but with Parkinson's, individuals, they have a slightly different pattern when they move their eyes in their microsaccades, and you can pick those patterns up with an eye tracker. So, yeah, and there's lots of different things like that that eventually, you know, fingers crossed, we will be able to add to the system. We just need to find research partners that have enough research that, so we can validate those types of tests.
Very interesting. So how can eye tracking help these chiropractors specifically, aside from saying, you know, this is what's wrong with you?
So, you know, for chiropractors, it's, you know, I mentioned this before we got on the phone calls that, you know, I enjoy working with chiropractors because they do things differently than other physician types. Generally, their rehabilitation world is very dynamic versus others that are much more static. So eye tracking allows chiropractors specifically to just quickly and objectively identify the dysfunction, and this dysfunction can often be related to head trauma. And then it provides the directional details which allow you to determine specifically where is the head injury location and the potential severity of the injury. It provides proof of the chiropractor's rehabilitation over time. It also, I think this is a key piece, it allows, you know, since the reporting is so visual and, you know, it allows the doctor to engage with the patient and their caregivers at just a very deep level, just because it's image-based reporting and the patient can see it. So they tend to get on board with the rehabilitation much more easily. And this might sound crazy in the context of TBI, but, you know, these tests are, they're not particularly hard, and they can actually be kind of fun, even with somebody who's struggling. And you can make them fun because it's not like there's high pressure. You can kind of move at their own pace. Another key piece is it can automatically map out treatment protocols based on how they did on the tests. And then on the business side, eye tracking can allow chiropractors to just convert more consultations into long-term patients and ultimately improve patient outcomes. And, you know, if you think about chiropractic care, what is most of the people who are going to chiropractors, they're not going to chiropractors to say, hey, I'm healthy, I want to get tested. Most of them in some way are injured. So if you think about it, how did they get injured? Is it likely during their injury they had some type of event where their head snapped forward and back? Well, if so, they should get a neurological assessment, and you can do that with the eyes. So, you know, the chiropractic base of customers is just really a natural for eye tracking.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's good because, yeah, I mean, people do go to chiropractors because they want to check if everything's right or maybe something isn't right. So they probably had an event happen. And they want to check. And as you say, looking at their eyes is a good way of looking at what's going on with them. And that's just very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, related to that, you know, if you work with anybody who has legal cases, And let's say, you know, they have they came to you with a bad shoulder and maybe a bad lower back, and you're treating that, but is it likely maybe they're in a car accident that they had some type of neurological assessment? If you don't do it and they end up settling their case, you know, those people are kind of out of luck because they might find out later that, yeah, they do have some type of damage and it just was missed.
Yes. I imagine most people in the prison population have eye tracking problems. I mean, I don't know if there's any research on this. I'm just talking out of the top of my head here, but...
No, you're not talking out of the top of your head. There is actually research on that in the prison populations. Yeah, the prison populations generally do have binocular vision issues, and in many ways it has led them to that road. And it's sad but true. It's the same with disruptive children in schools. It's not that they're necessarily bad kids. Sometimes they have an issue and it hasn't been identified, and it's hard for them to overcome it when they don't even know it. So there's a lot of examples of things like that are happening. We just need to get folks doing it and get those folks treated.
Yeah, that's a lot of problems that we chiropractors have with the medical profession. It's like, if they don't see a problem, they can't identify it. It's not there as far as they're concerned. But this is a way of actually
showing. I agree with you. I mean, it's without pointing fingers, there are certain professions where if you're not doing surgery and if you're not prescribing some type of medication, there is no other option. And, you know, that's really a sad indictment on those particular doctors.
Yes, I agree. But back to your particular technology, is objective TBI measurement becoming the industry standard?
You know, I believe it is. You know, as TBI research expands, I mean, you know, standards will need to be developed and put in place. And from a chiropractic perspective, this only helps because it will provide validation of the great work that's being done. And in many cases, you know, you don't have that picture or image or score that says this patient has done this much better. And when you get that, it's just something, frankly, chiropractors should crow about, because it's you do help people to improve their lives. And, you know, just having that objective information can really help to prove it.
Do people buy your objective information?
No, because they don't buy the objective information. They're basically, I mean, I guess the patient is indirectly because they get a copy of that. But our system is set up is, you know, the physician is running the system, and it's the physician's data. It's not ours. So they can do what they want, I guess, with the patient's permission, but we're limited in some ways just with HIPAA and those types of things.
Yeah. I know about those laws that you can only tell people certain things. Yes.
Exactly.
How does remote eye tracking work?
So remote eye tracking is a little bit different than most people kind of think of eye tracking. In the past, eye trackers, you had to put on goggles or you had to wear a helmet or you had to have something like that. A remote eye tracker is a system that, if you can imagine, you sit down and our system is about the size of a large laptop. It's not a laptop. It's an all-in-one computer. But if you imagine sitting down in front of it and you start a test and the unit is flashing out infrared light at you. And what it does is it builds a glint pattern on each one of your eyes. It's basically going to lock on each eye separately so it can show you the disparities between right and left. But once it creates this glint pattern on the eye, and once it creates that pattern with the infrared light, it locks onto that pattern, and it stays locked on for the duration of the test and the exercises. And so the head is in free space. The patient is just looking at a screen. There's nothing in between their eyes and the screen, basically. And so, unless they wear glasses, but the system works right through the lenses. So it's very natural. It's actually, for some patients, you'll see them waving at the machine because they don't really get it. You know, they're controlling things that are happening on the screen, and they'll be waving at it, like looking at you, like, how is this happening? So it's kind of fun. It's kind of funny when that happens. That's how it locks on, and it stays locked on.
So, how young can you do this and have a meaningful result? How young can the patient be?
So it's really up to the patient. If they can understand what you're saying to them, then they can do it. However, we have had some doctors, there are certain tests where if you can just get, like, even an infant to follow the directions by just pointing around the screen, sometimes you can do that. It'll lock onto their eyes just like anybody else. And then if you can get them to follow the instructions, sometimes the child is just curious and they'll do it. Others times not. But in general, it starts, I would say, at age 3, where you can reliably test them. And you can go a little, sometimes go lower than that. We will have, eventually in the normative data, we will have norms for every year up through 18. Because there's much more of a distinctive change from, like, age 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 versus, like, me from 57 to 58. You know, it doesn't make much difference for me.
Very interesting. Okay. So your particular company, RightEye, where does that fit into remote eye tracking technology?
So we do use a remote eye tracker. So it's a piece of hardware that the unit itself, if you can imagine, again, the screen is about the size of a large laptop screen, but it's an all-in-one computer. And on the bottom, and the reason why people don't notice there's an eye tracker, it's covered with black glass, so it matches the color of it. So you don't really see it. You know, it's an all-in-one system. It's got the eye tracker in it. It's got an 8-hour battery in it. It's touchscreen enabled. It's got speakers in it. And it's actually ruggedized because sometimes you're dealing with patients who, you know, they may have special needs and they might bang on the machine. And it can take it. It's got the rubber coating. It's injected with silicone. It's a tough little unit. You know, it comes with when we ship our system, it comes with a hydraulic cable. So everything we do is designed to be very, very fast. Like, you can run the test, and I'll go through this in a little bit, but between 3 and 5 minutes is generally how much time people are spending on it. Yeah, it doesn't take very long. And it's cloud-based. So you can, when you run a test, most people will run the test on the system, but then they might take the patient into their office, and they'll pull up the results on a big widescreen monitor, and it looks fantastic. Not that it doesn't look great on our system, but it's a smaller system. It's designed to be portable. Right. So pull it up on a big screen, it looks fantastic. In terms of what's included, you know, you get the remote eye tracker with our system. But for us, you know, we're more of a software company than we are anything else. So we're constantly developing new things. And the way our model works is, when we add something every 3 to 4 weeks, we push out new stuff, new enhancements. You just get that automatically. It's just the way the system works. So and you can even, like, if you wanted to, let's say you wanted to send one of your techs to go do tests or run baseline tests on a hockey team or something, you could send them to run the tests. You could actually observe the results from the office while they're happening in real time and make notes and collaborate in different locations. It's kind of a neat way to run the system. I didn't even know our system did that, frankly. I was talking to one of our MLB teams, And I was asking the guy if he was excited about going to spring training, and the doctor said, I'm not going. I said, what do you mean you're not going? He said, well, you all trained one of my trainers, so he's going to do it, but I'm going to observe it online. And I was like, oh. So it's a safety feature we added, so it saves information as it goes. So I just didn't know you could observe this. This was several years ago. And then you get, with our system, it also includes the reporting. There's very patient-friendly reports. And then it does automatically assign exercises that you can have them do at home. And then there are iTrack games that they can play.
Oh! That's fun. We all like games.
Yeah, there's one that a chiropractor told me it, and I can't remember why, but it does a rotation, and it does wake you up. So I try to do that one in the morning. It gets me, it's like my cup of coffee.
I see. So what other tests are available?
So there's a total of 18 tests. And in general, what we do is we take manual tasks and things that you may be doing manually today, and we digitize them, we eye track them, and we automate the analysis of all the data that's being collected related to these tests, and it automatically will assign exercises for them to do. And the core tests that most people run include, it starts with a calibration, but that's actually, it's actually a binocular motor function test. The main protocol, it includes three pursuits tests, two saccades tests, fixation stability, and then two reaction time tests. You can actually, due to COVID, we changed it a little bit, so you can skip the reaction time tests because they require a motor response. And there were some doctors who said, I don't want them touching the unit at all because I don't want to disinfect it. So you can shorten it, and you can just do the non-motor tests, and you'll still get a nice report. There are other reports or other tests that I'm not going to spend much time on today, but we have a reading test. There are sports tests, and then we have a bunch of different standalone tests. And if I have time, I'll go through them. But the system also, you know, it includes all the reports that go with it. They're all highly visual. Again, there are, if you purchase, you can buy different modules, but if you buy the whole system, you get the automatic at-home exercises. There are in-house games you can play that use the eye tracker, and there are also at-home sports exercises that you can do if that's of interest. And then the norms include just regular norms, and then there are sports norms.
I see. Very interesting. So, yeah, I mean, you said it can take 3 to 5 minutes, but how do you take a test, and how long does each particular test take?
Sure. So, to get started, it's really pretty simple. In fact, with chiropractors, generally because they're familiar with what our system does, sometimes we have a hard time getting them to go through the basic training because it's pretty easy, you know. Well, the way it ships is you basically plug it in and it turns on and it says, do you want to connect to the internet? You say yes. Do you want to connect to a printer? You say yes. And then it says, do you want to run a test? And people say yes. They run them and they're like, well, that's easy. I don't need the training. But, you know, we do ask that people go through it. Well, just because it makes it easier, you learn things about, like, how do you deal with people with glasses, or what are some other issues? How, you know, what are the steps you can take if you're having a hard time with a geriatric patient? All that is covered in the training, so we ask people to do it. But in general, you just click on take a test in the system. The first time through, you're going to add in first name, last name. You know, you can skip the demographic details to make it shorter. But one thing you will collect, you'll collect their email. And that becomes important because if later, after you've run the test, it automatically assigns exercises. And if you find that, if you determine that they're a good candidate for at-home exercises, their email becomes the login to our system. So you want to, you know, you want to make sure you get their email. And then they just, you can select any of the tests that are, there are kind of core protocols that we've built. You can actually build your own protocol. So you can mix and match we built with your own, or you can just do one test at a time. It really, it just depends on what you're trying to accomplish. And one of the things, I think I touched on this, it might have been when we were, the two of us were just on the phone, but one of the things I really find fascinating with chiropractic care is I always recommend that they build what I call a conditional protocol. And so, for example, what that means is I just want to run three horizontal pursuits tests right in a row, back to back to back. And then what you can do is you can have the patient sit there, do one normally. You could have them rotate their legs to the left, but look back at the screen, do the test. And then you could have them rotate their legs to the right, look back and do the test. All the tests are about 12 seconds, so it doesn't take very long. And then all you're doing is you're just comparing, do these different positions cause them to get better or worse? And you can do the same thing from somebody could be sitting, you move them to a standing position, you could have them balance on one foot or the other foot, and you're just seeing, does this cause any drastic change with how they're performing? And I find this stuff fascinating. You can even do, and I mentioned this earlier, you can have somebody, you could test them seated, you could take them away from the system but leave it on, and you could have them do some type of therapeutic intervention. So one of the, I was at a chiropractic trade show, and a doctor did that. We tested her, and she didn't do very well. And the next thing I know, I'm looking over at the trade show floor, and he has this woman. She's walking backwards with her head tilted backwards, and she's walking backwards, but she's moving her arms like she's doing the backstroke, moving backwards. And I'm like, what is going on here? And so he brings her back over, and she scored remarkably higher. And I'm like, how did that just happen? And at the time, he explained it had something to do with the canals and the vestibular system. But I didn't really understand it, frankly. But it was amazing to me that happened. And another, you know, it's the other example I had, a doctor, he's from Canada. He was working with an NHL player who had lingering concussion issues. You know, it just wasn't going away anymore like they had in the past. And he sent me some results, and I was like, they were great. But then I looked at them, and they were only like an hour apart, and that's very unusual. So I called him. I actually thought he was kidding with me. And I said, how is this possible that you can change it that much in that amount of time? Told me he ran, I don't exactly remember what it's called, but he ran electric stimulation through the player's tongue to the area of the brain that was affected by the trauma. And it was remarkably better. I couldn't believe it. You know, and so from then on, I've been really asking my bosses to stay working in chiropractic care, because there's just such, it's just so fascinating when you see stuff like that. It's really pretty remarkable.
Back to
the process. So the first thing, once it starts, you got to calibrate. And this is the process where the infrared light is flashing. You don't see it. It basically asks the patient to follow a little white dot and moving around the screen. And so the little dot stops 9 times. So the patient needs to connect with that dot 6 out of the 9 times for them to continue. But let's say somebody came into the, you know, let's say somebody came into the office and they had a serious concussion. Well, this process is difficult for them. So what happens is they might not pass this step, and so you'd ask them to do it over again. And what happens is the system automatically adjusts. So, you know, the white dot that they're following around, it's like the size of a dime. The second time through, it looks the same to the patient, but it actually, in the background, it increases in size to like a big apple. So it's basically making it wider so their eyes can get together just long enough so they can calibrate. If they fail again, it gets bigger still. It dynamically adapts to their condition. But if somebody goes through that, you know, those extra steps, you know that they have a pretty significant issue, and it's kind of a heads up to you that you might need to slow down with this person, because potentially you could induce symptoms if you're trying to go too fast. It also, the system, if you had somebody with, let's say, Parkinson's and they were rocking back and forth, the way the system works, it's constantly measuring the distance from the eye tracker to the eye, and it takes those distance changes, apply those to the results, so you're going to get consistent results, not skewed data based on the head motion. But so once you're through the calibration part of it, you're going to go into the tests. And our first test in the core protocol is a circular smooth pursuit test. So it basically mimics follow my finger as I move it in a circle. And so they're asked to follow a small dot that's moving in a circle, and they do that. And in real time, you can show them if the image is tight, you know, they draw it. If they draw a tight circle, that's a great sign. If it's scattered and all over the place, that's generally a sign that there's some type of short-term trauma. So those are kind of indicators in general that you can use. Now, in our system, it gives you a lot of prompts, giving you information about what else it could be as well. So the first one is circular smooth pursuit. The next one, another 12-second test is horizontal smooth pursuit. So again, you're just going to say follow the dot, little dot moving back and forth horizontally. And so if it's scattered and all over the place, it's more likely to be short-term trauma. But what's interesting is you may see like something that's not scattered, but that the image, instead of, for example, a horizontal pursuit test, instead of you seeing a straight line, it could be jagged and all over the place, or it might be just pointing the wrong way. So that could be a result of someone who had a previous concussion long ago that never was treated, and the brain and the eye have kind of adapted and kind of settled in at a way that they're going to address the eye movement. And so it'll give you an idea that that could be the case. So the next one, I won't spend too much time through these, but is vertical pursuit. Same thing, you're just following it as it moves up and down. And again, with embedded in the system, there is an eye movement reference guide. So if it's got a pattern to it, you can look up the pattern and it'll give you indication as to what's going on. So with the pursuits done, basically the next two tests are Saccade's tests, and they simulate look between my fingers. And so instead of the fingers, you see two white dots, and they just go back and forth between the dots. And in real time, you can show them what it looks like. Again, head trauma is going to be much more scattered. Vertical Saccade, same thing. And I'm kind of going through one of my presentations right now, and one of the examples I used, this was another physician that I tested. This was at the, I think it was the New Mexico Chiropractic Association meeting. And when I'm live, I always ask whoever I'm testing, I'm like, do you have any conditions I should know about? Because usually I'm at a trade show. If somebody has a concussion, frankly, I don't want to induce symptoms on the trade show floor. So, you know, I always ask, and because I have had people where you can tell they're starting to get sick, and I just tell them to put their head down and relax, but I don't like that to happen. So, but this woman, so I tested this doctor, or she said, no issues. I tested her, and then her results were horrible. And I'm like, are you sure you don't have any issue? And it turned out that she lives in an apartment building, and the neighbor below her was manufacturing crystal methamphetamines. You know, this is a nice development she lives in. And he was storing the chemicals from the drugs he was making in the bedroom below hers. And she was breathing in the fumes from all these chemicals. And I had no idea that stuff was so toxic. But, you know, it's fortunate that he got arrested, and she found out because she thought she had the flu. She just thought she had the flu, and, you know, that's why she was nauseated and felt sick. So sometimes environmental factors can come into play with this stuff too. So the next test in the core protocol is you'd run fixation stability, and it's, for most people, really, really easy. You just look straight ahead at a couple different objects, and it plots everywhere that you're looking. What's interesting, if you work with any pediatric patients, especially kids with attention issues, this test can be difficult for them because it's hard for them to just stay looking straight ahead at a single point.
Right.
And so you might see their eyes wandering on and off the screen. So it can be an early indicator that there's an attention-related issue. So if you finish just those six tests, you get a nice report. But most people do run the next two, are reaction time tests, and it requires the patient to press the numbers 1, 2, and 3 on either the keyboard or the number pad that's included. And so it's basically you're asked to follow an arrow on the screen, and at the end of the arrow, you'll see either an alien, an astronaut, or the Earth. If you see an alien, you press 1. If you see an astronaut, you press 2, and you see the Earth, you press 3. So this one's more of a it involves more cognitive processes, and so it breaks down their responses. It gives them a measurement for their latency, how long it took them to get moving. It gives them a measurement for their visual speed. And then lastly, let's say you know they've moved and they're looking at the alien. How long does it take their finger to press 1? It's more of a cognitive processing speed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next test is almost the same as this one, except you only press 1 when you see the alien. So for people with attention issues, yeah, it's a go, no-go test. It's just a lot harder for people with attention issues. So, they want to press the 2 and 3, so they're going to score more poorly. But for everybody else, it's actually easier because you're moving from multiple choices to a single choice.
Yeah.
And at the end of all, if you imagine all that, you've run all those 8 tests, and what you've collected is over 10,000 gaze points, over 600 metrics, and it takes all that information, it scores it, it weights it, it applies our algorithms, and it gives them an overall score. So let's say they score a 90. Well, a 90 is really good, and that's generally, it'll show how does that 90 compare to their age-based norm. And generally, you want the person to be right in their age-based norm. If they're below that, it can be a sign that there's more of a problem. In general, if somebody has TBI, it's going to be significantly lower than the age-based norm. But in the report, you can either print it or you can look it up online. And this is the key point, is that basically you're reviewing these reports with the patient, and you can replay what just happened right then and there. So it has a replay, so you can show them the replay of their circular pursuits, of their horizontal pursuits, of their saccades, and show it to them. And at that point, that's where you're really asking the patient, hey, this doesn't look so great compared to the normative values. What do you want to do in terms of treatment? So you're using that information to get them into a program because they need it. You're going to have very few people who opt out of treatment because they are forced to confront with, you know, what they're seeing. So you can also, there are different ways you can look at information when you're online. You can actually show them where they tested today versus when they came to you originally, versus compared to the normative information. So I kind of like that view. It gives them, you know, where they are, where they were, and where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of all the different, that's kind of our system. You know, that's kind of where it is.
Yeah, very interesting. So you can find out anything you want to know. I was wondering now, does this work for people with one eye, for example?
Today, it does not. I mean, I've been able to do it, but it's, you got to kind of trick the system. It is looking for one decent eye, and then it takes minimal input from the other eye. We're actually working with the manufacturer to come up with a single eye calibration because we do work with the VA, and, you know, these soldiers that come in, sometimes they just don't have an eye. So we are working on a solution for that. But today it takes they have to have some activity in the other eye. It doesn't have to be a lot, but that's why you can, if they have a glass eye, you can trick the system and get them to do it. So it's I can talk to you about how to do that at a later time.
Very interesting. I was just wondering about my particular case. I mean, I have two eyes, but my one eye is much better than my other eye. So how would it go about measuring something like that?
Well, that's exactly what the system does. It's, you want to see the difference. You know, you might need to put that if you have amblyopia, you might want to put that eye to work, you know. So, you know, I think you touched earlier if can the system be used for rehabilitation? So for somebody like you, the answer is absolutely yes. It would assign you exercises you could do at home. But then for that particular situation, there are games that you can play. So you might patch your good eye, and you would play basically games with your weak eye until it got stronger. And so that's something you can do in office because that uses the eye tracker. So there's a game where it's a matching game. You look in the middle of the screen, and then you have to move your eye to a matching item that's moving around the center. It's kind of hard to describe, but it is specifically designed to help improve straight line saccade speed for post TBI patients, because moving in a straight line efficiently and quickly is something that can be a struggle. And so there are different games you can play, and in general they're pretty fun. There's one set of exercises that are the in-office ones. The ones I would probably assign to you, Dr. Rosenfeld, would be the harder ones. They're more like push-ups because it's like when I make you do stuff on your weak eye, it's not necessarily fun for you because it becomes work. And when you do that, it's harder for the patient. But, you know, it just is. So it's not like you're playing a game all the time because it's like you're doing a push-up. So they're not always fun. And then the last set of it is there are exercises that are automatically assigned based on how they perform. So it basically breaks down it automatically assigns 30 sessions. And each session is comprised of their pursuits exercise that is targeting their worst element of their pursuits, a saccades exercise that targets the worst element of their saccades, and a fixation exercise that targets their worst element of their fixations. And so it automatically assigns them to be done at home. And then, so you would basically send the patient to righteye.com, they'd log on, and they'd have these exercises there that were automatically assigned based on how they did. And these exercises are designed to reestablish the connection from the eye to the brain, which often is a problem when people have concussions. And they are not particularly hard. They just need to be done consistently. So it might involve, for example, one of the pursuits tests was you need to look at a dot at the top of the screen, and then you have to move your head up and move your head down, and then go back to the dot. And the dot will move down vertically, and you have to basically move your head up and down. And basically it's trying to, if you think of vision and the rehabilitation, if you think of it as kind of a grid, it's trying to reestablish the X and Y coordinate so that when the brain says, right eye go up, it moves straight up in a straight line. Because people with head trauma, it doesn't do that. And they are based on an app called Focus Builder, if people have heard of it before, and they're a partner of ours. These exercises were built by two chiropractors, and they're specifically for these applications. Oh, the last piece that's included there are some sports-specific videos that are included, but there are also some generic, like, balance exercises you can do as well.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a big problem with TBIs, yeah.
Yeah, they can do that at their own pace, if you want them to.
Very interesting. Okay, so you say here that right eye can be used to help prevent brain injuries. How does right eye... How is it used to prevent brain injuries?
Well, you know, frankly, I don't know that – I haven't heard of anything that prevents it. What I have heard, and with the research that I read something not too long ago, is basically if an individual, is prone to concussions or, you know, has an issue, if they do exercise their, you know, their neurological skills, if they exercise their – visual skills, it can, if they do get another concussion, it can reduce potentially the severity and make the recovery quicker. But I don't know that anything at this point, not that anything, I mean, if you get hit in the head, you get hit in the head. It's not going to,
But I've heard that the most common, reason for a brain injury is you've had one before.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so it's very dangerous as they pile up. What's that?
So this would make sense. You help prevent future brain injuries once you've already had one.
Well, what this does is, you know, especially with younger kids, you know, once they've had one, you got to make sure that they are ready to return to play, because the challenge is, you know, the younger kids, they don't think that there's any long-term consequence. And so you need something that objectively looks at that, because they will go and return to play right away. And that is the worst time to get a second concussion, after you had one. So it's the same with adults too. But so you just want to make sure that they've gone through the full rehabilitation. And frankly, it is a good idea to keep them on an ongoing program, because if something happens, you want to have a baseline for them. You want them to be as strong as possible, because it's much more likely they'll have a better recovery if it does happen in the future again.
Very interesting. Now, I just want to comment to the people listening into this show. I see a lot of people popping into the screen here for a few minutes and then leaving. If you have a question, please just press 1 once you've signed in at 424-243-9540. And I'll know you have a question, and I'll ask you specifically for your question, because, you know, I'm sure Chris is interested in these questions that can come up. So
I'm scaring them away, I think.
or making them come on and check it out and then scaring them away. I don't know. But so tell me, if eye tracking can be used to identify brain injury, can eye tracking be used for rehabilitation? You kind of said that it could, but you went over that quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's in our particular system, there are the games, and we call them games, but they are a therapy. It is basically, they are doing those things to help them improve. And then the at-home exercises are the ones that are specifically designed to reestablish the connection from the eye to the brain. And frankly, when I first saw them, they're very simple. You just have to do them consistently. When I first saw them, I was like, there's no way this, it just seems so simple conceptually. I just found it hard to believe. And then like the next day, we got a video from a woman, and I can't even use her video because it just sounds so ridiculous. She said she had been bedridden. She had been in an accident. She had had brain fog, and she did these exercises, and then she was filming this video, was from a golf course with her husband. And I'm like, I haven't been able to do this in like a year. And I'm like, it was like a late night, you know, infomercial almost. It sounded so ridiculous, but it was, you know, so sometimes it's just, there is a disconnect from the eye to the brain. And when you can begin to put that back in order, things begin to clear up, and they can clear up, you know, I don't want to say quickly, because it just depends on the person. Sometimes people won't respond. Others respond like amazingly. But most of them takes a little bit of time, a month or so. So,
yeah.
Or maybe longer. So it's, but you'll know if it's a kind of thing that will work for them. You know, it doesn't work for everybody, but it's pretty remarkable when it does do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good news to us brain injury people who want to use something like this that would help the rehabilitation process. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, it's and it there. You know, and these the thing. These are they're not designed to be. You know, some of them, if you make them hard, they're hard. But they're designed to be relatively. You know, they're. I don't want to say they're enjoyable because they're still therapy. But some of them are kind of fun. You know, it's. It just depends on your condition.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, how does this eye tracking technology validate the treatment?
So, really what it does the best is it just shows you, it gives you a clear picture of pre and post treatment. So, you can show the patient, you know, here's what it looked like when you came in, here's the treatment we applied, and here's what it looks like now. So it's just a great way to illustrate to the patient. And, you know, frankly, when you get really good cases like that, we can help you, or Rita can help you to market that case. You just anonymize that case, and you can send it around to other physicians in the area and say, hey, this is the type of work I do. Here's an example of a case. Here's somebody with a concussion. I applied XYZ treatment, and here's what it looked like at the end. I'd like to talk to you about becoming your referral partner. So it's a great way to get more physicians to visually share that with other doctors and get them to start sending more folks your way.
Yes. Yes, I can see that. So tell me, based on what we've discussed today, it seems that everyone could benefit from a baseline right eye dynamic vision assessment. How is it important in everyday life?
Well, I don't think we're on the phone yet when I talk about my case, but so given my case, before I went to right eye, I wear glasses and, you know, I don't have great vision, but it's not that terrible. But when I started, I was playing some of the games and I couldn't play the games. I just was terrible at them. And so it turned out that, you know, and I was blaming the machine. I was telling, this is all wrong. And it turned out that I had a slight convergence insufficiency, meaning just one of my eyes, kind of like yours, is just not teaming that well with my primary eye. And it really gave me pause to think, well, you know, I always wondered, like in college, why was it so hard to read and why did I have so many, you know, certain things became very difficult. So, you know, if you can ease that type of thing for someone, it can strongly impact their everyday life. You can, and it may just be a subtle change. So my stuff started to improve even before we had the exercises in our program because I was using the system. So I don't, my images don't really show that anymore. But, you know, so there are a couple of reasons why you should run baselines. The person might have a problem, but, you know, they might also get hurt. So in either case, you want to identify a problem if they potentially have it. And if they don't, you want to have that baseline on file in the event that they do get hurt down the road.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So, yeah, people say our eyes are pretty important.
They are.
Mm. Okay. How do you advocate for more widespread objective vision testing in the general population?
So I do because like me, I think most people, my statistics, I don't really have statistics to back this up, but I'm just going to put it out there anyway. So if you take our system out in front of your, you know, to a local mall and you just test 100 random people, you will find between 30 and 40% of them have a pretty, you know, a pretty significant treatable condition. And
wow.
You probably have another 30% that have a more subtle treatable condition. And then you have the rest of the world who's just really, really good. but I wouldn't limit it to calling it vision testing, because really it uses the eyes, but it's, our stuff is often very neurologically focused. So it's a vision test and it's a neurological test. And I think having that, for everybody is important. And if you think about chiropractic patients, they've been injured. So what is the likelihood that they have some type of issue where if things are off a little bit? It doesn't take a lot to throw things off. I mean, I hear cases of people, they have minor fender benders and they're like out of commission for years. So it's quite easy to just, these people, your patients, chiropractic patients are predisposed to have a lot of problems, and you're doing them a serious service when you give them the neurological test, and they'll be appreciative, because if you find something out that they've missed for years and years, they'll be ecstatic. I mean, it happens. I'll be at trade shows and these are often doctors too, and I'll test somebody and I'll look over and they'll be like crying. And I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? and it's because I've discovered something that they knew there was a problem, but nobody would believe them and nobody could figure it out. And it could be something pretty simple too. And it happens. It happens a lot with kids, the parent is yelling at the kid because he's not working hard enough, but it turns out he's got a problem. And then the parent will leave the room and they're like crying in the hallway. You feel like a total heel, but it's kind of a good thing for the kid.
Yeah.
So, if anybody wants to see it, I'll just give myself a plug. My email is chris@chrii.com. Feel free to email me and I can show you the system. It is a very visual system, and Frank, this was kind of hard for me because I'm used to showing pictures. So I hope I hope you can get a sense for what we do and what eye tracking can provide for you.
Okay, Chris, how else can people get in touch with you or your company?
My direct phone number is 240-696-3004. And again, the easiest is just Chris, chris@righteye.com. We're based in Bethesda, Maryland. We're right outside Washington, D.C.
Okay, very nice. Okay, so I have a question here. I don't know the person who it is, but I'm going to turn your microphone, the person calling from 765 area code, okay? I'm turning your microphone on now so you can ask your question. Okay.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Hello there.
Good.
10 years and 3 weeks out. Punch coupe on a motorcycle. S-curve, it was 15-20 mile an hour maximum. Like 12-day coma, helicopter and all that. So pretty multitasked, old self, and I had contacts and glasses. I didn't have that drastic of health problems. Of course, now with pharmaceuticals, I'm obese, and I have Graves' disease and then Graves' disease ophthalmology and a lazy eye. So with the T3, T4, the thyroid going out of whack, it's overproducing. I'm not going to have my thyroid taken out because they're going to have me take a pill that the thyroid does. That's overdoing. But I don't see that's an issue, too. That's not a solve. So did the accident cause the hyperthyroidism? Did it cause the lazy eye?
Boy, I'm not a physician. I would put you in contact with a chiropractor. And if you email chris@righteye.com, I can make some recommendations as to who you could see. Are you in the military?
No, sir.
No. Okay. No, I, so we're, Yeah, we could probably take this offline. I'd be happy to try to get you to see somebody a little bit. I don't know. I don't know your case too well, but because there's a lot going on there. But if it can, if some of this stuff could make it a little bit easier, you know, that would go, that might help you.
So I see a doctor, you know, once a year. I've been through all those tests, you know, and they're kind of repetitive. And fourth year, it'll be coming up in December. I don't really have much pain. I guess with the lazy eye, the other opposite eye is less, it's more harmful in the back, 3D, in the back behind the eye. I guess that what I appear as the good eye is worse, the muscles behind. But so it's CHRIS at sign RIGHTEYE.com.
EYE, correct. Yeah, if you send me that and just, you can just say, hey, I was on the radio, and
thanks.
Just tell me what city you're around. And, you know, there are some things you could do on your own, but given the complexity of your case, I probably wouldn't do that until you know, see somebody.
Sure.
You know, just because I'm not a physician. I don't want to make recommendations that are certainly could do more harm than good. So
the term chiropractor got thrown out there. What's the chiropractor all about?
So, yeah, the chiropractors are, you know, what makes them different, in my personal opinion, is that they get more involved in kind of body in motion treatment. So what I mean by that is just, and they're more holistic in terms of how does the brain and the eye work together versus other professions that they don't really look, in my opinion, they don't look at the total picture of the patient. So I think it's worth investigating options with a chiropractor comparatively, and maybe somebody who has studied functional neurology as well.
So I need to go to an experienced chiropractor that's over a decade, 12, 15 years out, not 2 to 5 year, you know, kind of training still. Would you suggest that?
Well, I think what you want to do is you want to look for certifications that have expertise in the areas that you have issues in. And one of those, that's why I would say you want to look for somebody with the certification would be a diplomate of functional neurology, frankly, is what I would look for.
Yeah. Functional neurology, what was the first word?
Diplomate. I can send it to you. If you just email me,
I'll send you all
the certifications that I think are relevant.
Well, I appreciate you, Chris. Thank you. So who's
sure.
the host? And
no,
who's
and I, yeah, just email me. Email me and I will follow up with you.
Thank you, Chris. What's the theme of the show? Who's the host?
Oh.
it's Dr. Rosenfeld.
Me, I'm Dr. Rosenfeld. I'm an upper cervical chiropractor, and I just want to say, I recommend looking for an upper cervical chiropractor because we see our job as connecting the brain to the spinal cord.
Sure. Do you think chiropractic teaches that?
If you send me an email, I can tell you about it. Okay? So
right.
Send the email to... Doctor,
well, thank you.
Yes,
continue on. I'll just listen. But thank you so much.
No, and that's another. See, there. That's what I meant when you're looking for certain things. That's another classification of chiropractor specialization that is good for your specific condition. So, you want to look for those kinds of things.
Yes.
So
look
my
at
uncle's
the
retired
website. No, I can tell you. Look at the website. UP up C spine. One word. UP C spine. Okay.
UPC spine. Yep.
Yeah, for upper cervical spine. And let me get the rest of the email address. It's .com. UPCSpine.com. Then there's a / links 1 you know, L-I-N-K-S, links1.htm. That gives you a list of upper cervical chiropractors all over the country.
Thank you. This show is going to be recorded, right? I mean, that's
yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah. You'll be able to get into it tomorrow. Yep.
So yeah, you're going to be a celebrity.
What's the name again? How do I find the show from the Burn website? It'll be on the front page of the Facebook?
Yeah, it's it is tonight. Look at eye tracking technology.
Okay. I appreciate you. I was raised in a chiropractic environment. My uncle, but he was out in Maine. We're in Indiana. He'd come once or twice a year, you know, and he would treat us 4 or 5 times, and you know, it was wonderful. But you know, when you go from 8, 12 years old, and then you're 49, it's a whole different story. And what I'm saying now is, the chiropractic I'm used to is a full body. And it seems like now they want to do you in segments. And I'm like, look, I want the whole, you know,
yeah,
Logan chiropractor has
the
routine. I want the whole bill. I don't want, you know, to do hit and miss. I want the whole
massage. Chiropractors tend to look at things very holistically. So,
okay.
You know, even upper cervical chiropractors just focus on the top couple bones of the neck. I mean, we adjust the entire body in my office.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know, and a lot of chiropractors
so
do.
I have
you know,
my right shoulder, my favorite hand, my good hand. I'm not sure that's where I took the fall, you know, that's how I landed and knocked me out. So am I looking at Botox or shoulder replacement, rotator cuff, or
you're looking at everything. Because
I'm saying
don't just happen in one place.
They're saying exercising
is
helping
me,
you know. All right.
The body is a unit. I mean, you might feel pain down in your low back. The real problem might be up at the top of your neck or vice versa. So we have
to
look at
this. As far as the bed, as far as the sleeping bed. So the Sleep Number is advertising an $899 bed, that, you know, like a hospital bed, but electrical that you can heat up and all that, cool down, and, you know, I'm on my 5th mattress in 7 years, and it's just horrible. You know, I don't have the money to go over $700-$800, and I guess you got to spend and invest in yourself, right?
You're the most important thing, right? But things that might help your bed, put a wood frame under it. It'll make all the difference in the world.
Under the mattress, between the box springs?
Yeah. Just a strip of wood. It will make all the difference.
So like a half inch sheet of pressboard?
No, not cardboard. Make it like plywood.
That's like the pressboard stuff, right?
Yeah, you can do that, but putting a piece of pressboard underneath your entire bed will make all the difference in the world.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I don't want to have Botox shot in my shoulder, do I?
No, you don't.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chris Sark breaking in, pushing chiropractic here, but...
No, I think I might be going to an upper cervical trade show this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Really?
I think so.
That's
I asked for it last year, but, I think so.
That's great. Because, the real miracles in chiropractic come from upper cervical work. Just getting the spine reconnected to the brain does wonders.
Right.
I mean, but you said getting the eyes to work does wonders also. because most people probably do have an undiagnosed eye issue.
Yeah, it's surprising how high it is.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm evidence of that.
Yeah, exactly. So, Chris, you were telling me your office is near Bethesda Hospital.
Yeah, we're near Bethesda Naval Medical. That's where, like, the presidents go. Yeah, you can actually see it from our window.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So Bethesda Hospital is probably doing a lot of research of their own.
They are. Our chief science officer is the one who deals with those folks. I don't deal with them. It's kind of beyond me, the research that they do. I just try to. We just got a grant to study Lyme's disease. I know we're working on a movement disorders test now with the the university? They're in Richmond. They're Virginia Commonwealth University.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, so now you were saying early in the program, but some of the tests were in the doctor or chiropractor's office and some were done at home.
Yep.
Some
of the exercises. Oh, I forgot to mention, we are building an app too, so you'll be able to do some testing through the phone. But the phone is pretty small. It's really designed to, let's say you had a patient who had a concussion and you're talking to them on the phone, they don't want to come in for whatever reason, whether it's COVID or not. You could basically have them do some tests through their phone, and it'll basically tell you if they are above or below the normative value where they should be. It's not going to give you all the detail, but it should give you some information to get them to, you know, at least get them to come to the office. So, because that's the objective. We're not trying to be a virtual, provider. We want people, our goal is to drive people into the office. So that same app, if somebody ran it on their own and they're in your city, and they scored below the norm, it would recommend that they go see a chiropractor in their area. And it'll give the name and the address and the email of how to do that.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, we have a lot of programs like that. Go ahead.
No, that's great. I was just going to ask you, how many people do you have working in your facility?
It's been so long since I've been in there. I've only been in the office like three times in the last year. It's got since COVID started, I used to go in every day. I think we're probably around 30 people. It's not huge. Yeah, probably about 30 people. So, and most of them have been there, a while, like me. I've been there for 6 years. And the company has actually been around longer. Again, we did the in-theater head-mounted wearable eye tracking.
Right.
Which was, it really kind of, that stuff was really expensive just because it involved a lot more analysis than our current system. Our current system is much more of a plug-and-play kind of thing, which makes it a lot less expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Very interesting. So my one question is, how much improvement do you see in people on average? I know you can't say, oh, we see this much in most people, but like some people really improve a lot, right?
Right. So not too long ago, we did a study, and it was a really short one, and this was for the at-home exercises. And basically, I think it took like almost 100 people, it was like 95 people. and it compared people who with issues who did the at-home exercises compared to a control group who did nothing. And over the course of, it was only a short period of time, like 7 days of doing the exercise, the people who did the exercises improved by 17%. So that's a pretty short amount of time for that level of improvement compared to the people who did nothing. They got no improvement. So it's pretty significant. Of course, within that 17%, there'll be some that are higher or lower. And that's why, you know, sometimes people really respond. It just depends on their condition. Sometimes, you know, it's a slower process because it can involve, like, say, somebody had head trauma long ago and they have kind of a learned behavior with their eyes. That can be a longer process just because the muscles and everything is set up to work that way. So it's not going to be as quick as some of the other patients might see.
Yeah, or someone like, in my case, I mean, I wore a patch every summer for the first 11 years of my life. Oh, my good eye. I mean, yeah.
Do you know any good pirate jokes?
No, I don't. Yeah. Oh, that was miserable. Walking around every summer trying to find my way around. Oh, God. The memories of that. But I'm your age, Chris, basically, and I've been doing eye exercises from another system for the past 3 or 4 months, and I noticed significant improvements in my eyes.
That's good.
So I really recommend any kind of eye exercises.
Yeah, and I've even started doing, like, to just improve yourself, you don't, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, but there are simple things you can do. Just, you know, even if you're just sitting somewhere, did I tell you this story? So one time I was at a trade show. I think this was the same one where the woman had the crystal meth issue. And there was a woman who came up, and she was older than me. She was probably, probably late 60s, maybe early 70s. And I ran a test, and her results were spectacular, which, you know, that's not to say that they can't score that. But generally, you know, when you're older than me, you're usually on the downside of the bell curve in terms of performance. let's just say that. And so I asked her, I was like, do you do any type of exercises for your eyes, or do you do anything like that? And she said, well, as a matter of fact, when she was little, she did have, it was either a concussion or she had lazy eye or something, and the doctor had her do these exercises. And she said, what I did is I never stopped doing them. And now she does yoga, and what she would do is, for example, I don't know the poses, but when she would, like, hold a yoga pose, she would do things like, at a certain pose, she would far, and she would look mid-range, and she would look close. And she would do those during these certain poses. And for other ones, she would just look hard to the right, look hard to the right, left. But she embedded this into her kind of yoga routine. And she'd been doing it for years and years and years. So really pretty remarkable performance. And in fact, you know, I've seen in our system, I've seen 3 people score a 100%. And that doesn't mean they're perfect. It just means from the metrics perspective, it's really good. And one of those was an NHL goalie. Another one was just a physician that had incredible vision. And the third one was a 70-year-old man. He's the guy he's like my hero. I don't know what his story is because I didn't test him, but I saw him in our database, and I'm like, he probably was doing something similar. His, you know, results were incredible. So, you know, the performance, regardless of age, you can you can gain, you can improve. And for somebody at that age to be getting 100, I mean, it's really pretty amazing. And I'm sure he worked at it to get that. You know, I'm sure he does something.
Well, that's encouraging.
No, it is. When I do the live demo, I'm like, there he is. I show him because I'm like, that guy's my hero.
Good
and
stuff.
Unfortunately, it's anonymized, so I don't know who it is. And nobody seems to remember who he was. I'm like, come on. How do you forget that? It really is pretty remarkable.
Well, that's good to know that the stuff can help you forever, for your entire life, no matter where you are. It can be helping you. That's a really, really good thing to know and to keep in mind.
It can.
Yeah, because especially people with head injuries often feel like, oh, everything's ended for me. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, head injury is definitely harder, but, you know, it's harder work, but you just got to keep plugging. That's all you can do.
And you can get decent results.
Well, the key is being able to see the results, because sometimes patients will think, I'm not getting anywhere. And then you can show them a picture to show they are getting somewhere. And that's really...
Yeah, that's encouraging.
It is, because it keeps them going, because there's often that time where somebody wants to quit. And, you know, if you can keep them going, then, you know, it'll really take off in the positive direction.
Well, that's a really great incentive for all of us, you know, head injury people with major eye problems. Yeah.
Did I tell you about the guy who ran the electricity through the tongue? That one? I told you that.
No?
I didn't tell you that? Oh, it must have been earlier today. So one of the first concussion cases, this was very early on, and I was working with a doctor, a chiropractor, and he sent me his results of a patient, and he said, hey, this is an NHL player. I performed this treatment, and he got much better. And I'm like, fantastic. And I look at it, and the performance gains were like an hour apart. And that's kind of unusual, or was it at the time.
Right.
Yeah, so it was incredible. He was running electricity through the player's tongue. I had never heard that before, but it is remarkable. People are doing the same thing with, like, low-level lasers and different light therapies. With hyperbaric treatment, you can see incredible gains in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And
yeah,
this is all stuff. These are
to almost anything.
Well, these are all things chiropractors work with. These are all tools chiropractors work
with.
It's where you see the most amazing performance gains that I've seen.
Yeah. Well, the way I like to think of it is the way, you know, I was taught in school is that the body wants to be better, wants to do better, but it doesn't know how. If you kind of show it how, the body will latch onto that and continue, and you can get amazing results that way.
No, I hear you. It is. But again, you got to show the pictures to show them they're on their way. It's
it really
helps.
A lot of people don't believe that they've made any improvement, or they don't want to believe they've made an improvement. So showing them that they've made an improvement can make all the difference.
I'm with you. It does. It certainly does.
Okay. So I don't have anything else to say. Do you have anything else you want to say, Chris?
No, I appreciate this. I'm happy to do it again if you want me to do it again. And if anybody wants to do a demo, I basically have a couple cameras set up. It's kind of frightening. I run tests on myself. I'm not a great specimen. So it's, I have improved a lot, but I have more of a jagged pattern, which is, there are some people who are, which is good for scanning an environment. I'm not good at, if I was supposed to be a sniper, I wouldn't be good at that. So it's, I'm happy to take people through the demo. If they just email me at chris@righteye.com, I'm happy to do it.
Well, that's very nice, Chris.
I appreciate your time.
Yes, it was very, very interesting hearing you tonight. I'm so glad we got this chance to talk. And this show will be archived forever on this brain injury site.
Okay.
So people will be able to find
it.
Forever
is a long time.
And
okay.
I will send you a copy of the show, too.
Okay, great.
So thank you very much.
No, I do. I sincerely appreciate it. So I will, I'll probably talk to you maybe next week just to follow up and just see, how it was. And we can talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you very much for spending the time tonight. Since you live in Washington, I know it's kind of late for you. I'm out here in California.
It's fine.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, take care, and thanks, everybody.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay. So that's this evening's show, and I want to say goodbye to everyone from Brain Injury Radio, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Brain Injury Radio is on every night of the week. So good night, everybody.